And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, a massively central message of Jesus Christ is about the kingdom of God. Dr. George Ladd coined the phrase, "The kingdom of God is where God is king." But God has spoken that to other people as well throughout the ages, including yours truly in a psychology class because I was bored to death. By the way, the kingdom of God is the same as the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the Father, the kingdom of our Lord. Don't let anybody try and split hairs. That's just goofy. That's wrong. Number two, and next, the key to understanding this is the key to accessing his kingship. How do we access his kingship? That's a great question. How do you access the kingship of Christ? Jesus taught us clearly, and he stated it from the very time he began to preach. What's the first thing he said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, in Matthew 4:17. The second key is understanding what repent really means. This is the exact same message, by the way, John the Baptist preached. Finally, it might be in my head, but as a Christian who goes through this walk with the Lord, I know that I need to find constant refreshment. I don't think I'm the only one, but I know I need it. So because of the vision that most people have about repentance and how that's working together, repentance is always thought of as a guy with a sandwich board carrying "the end of the world is near," or identifying with the monks in Monty Python's Holy Grail movie where they beat themselves while chanting, going, and they keep hitting themselves in the head. Hey, either one of those images is not close to the truth, because the truth brings us refreshment.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. I still like this one, Jammin' Jacob. I'm just telling you, talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sleeping in as late as you want.
Aww. That's always great.
It's just so good. There's just something weird about I don't have to get up to do anything. It's like I just like the ability to just go, I will sleep another half hour. I will not sleep another hour. I will sleep for 2 more hours. I just love the option.
Right? It's also a great... It's like a great feeling when you wake up in the middle of the night and you check your phone to see how much longer you can sleep, and it's like 2 or 3 more hours, and you're like, yes, and just go back to sleep.
Tis not done yet, folks. Tis not done. Anyhow, just want to make sure everybody knows what's going on. If you've got a praise report, you need to reach out to us and share it. Why? Because it'll bless other people. And that's cool, to be a blessing. Something good happened, something great happened, something that the Lord just walked with you in, took you through it, got you through it. You share that because other people need to hear that. You got a prayer request? We just had Brother Ace call. I'm expecting everybody who listens to the show to be praying for Brother Ace. You don't even have to know Brother Ace to be praying for your brother. He's got some health issues. He wants to make it right. He's trusting in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You should be praying for him. Prayer requests are great in the capacity that we combine our faith and we watch the Lord move. Please try to remember, when you keep thinking that prayer won't change something, prayer changes the universe. It raises people from the dead. It stops the rotation of the universe. It does whatever it does because God is involved. And when God's involved, oops, it changes. And how long does it take for a miracle? Just a moment. That's all it takes for a miracle. Think about that. That's powerful. So if you've got that going on, look, let's play. Let's do it. Let's bring it before the Lord. So let's petition. Let's be the Christians that actually, instead of play church, instead of playing churchianity, let's be Christians and believe and do the things that Jesus said. Now, we also do Bible trivia. You think, why do you do Bible trivia? It keeps the Bible at the forefront of our thoughts. Keeps the Word of God at the center of where we're existing. And we need that. We need that center. Here's your question. From the birthright, or for the birthright, I should say, what did Jacob pay Esau? I'm sorry, that's backwards. For the birthright, what did Esau pay Jacob? What did Esau pay Jacob? Bread and stew of lentils, milk and honey, or milk and fruit? Bread and stew of lentils, milk and honey, or milk and fruit? What was the payment that Esau made for his birthright? That's a big question right there, if you think you know the answer. 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 as well. Send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We do have somebody that is already ready to answer the ready question. So let's ready and send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is Mary Python. Oh, goodness.
I just got to know, do you sit there and think, this is how I'm going to do the entrance point on this?
Well, I was just listening to your advertisement earlier when you were talking about, so I said, okay, that's a good one.
All right, let me set it up properly, and then you can hit it out of the park. Oh, you're too much. All right, here we go. Ready? What did Esau pay Jacob for his birthright? Bread and stew of lentils, milk and honey, or milk and fruit?
I think you paid him a switchboard.
A switchboard? What?
To Jacob. So he could transfer the phone calls.
Okay.
All right. The real answer is a stew.
That is stew! Correct, Mario!
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Sometimes you worry me, brother.
Hey, I can't help.
Oh, too good. How are you? Right. How are you today?
Actually, very stressful.
What's the stress?
My car again broke down, and it's costing me $3,000, and it's like I don't have three pennies.
All right, so we need a financial miracle, right?
Well, just pray that the Lord's will be done, and I know he's going to take care of me as he always has been. So I'm trusting on his faithfulness. So
right.
I just need a little encouragement.
All right.
That's it.
Let's pray that the Lord will encourage your faith.
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's bring it together. Everybody, take your faith, combine it with mine. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, and we come before you first and foremost saying thank you, because we never know the full plan, and that's why we're supposed to trust you, because you have something going on that's way past our capacity to see. You know everything. You know the beginning from the end. And you know every element that's attached. And so our brother's going through a financial trouble, and it's frustrating. And, Lord, we have other people that are listening to my voice right now who are agreeing with this whole sentiment, that there are frustrating things that we owe, we need to pay, we can't do it. But, Lord, you took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and you made them multiply. And somehow, instead of us saying we don't have enough, we take what we have and we say, please bless this and thank you for giving it to us. And we ask you to multiply it in such a way as the testimony can be that your miraculous power is released into these situations and people find the deliverance and the provision of Jehovah Jireh, and they know that you have stepped up and stepped in so that they can step on a new rock and have a new song in their mouth. We look to you, not to us. We look to you because you are unlimited in the resources. Help in this situation with our brother, and help each person who needs this help in their lives right now. Multiply. We're not going to complain about what we don't have. We're going to thank you for what we do have, and we just say, whatever way you can, multiply and glorify your name in this process. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen and amen, and I'll receive it. Amen.
There you go, bro. You keep us posted. Oh. Waiting for a testimony. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Love you, bro.
All right. Thank you so very much, and love you too.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, so before we do anything else, we got to do our DNA. Our DNA is very important to us. Why? Because. That's my new answer.
Because it is.
Because. It's just like, you know, why? Because. Why? Because. Keep doing it. I'll keep saying the same thing. DNA is the building blocks by which we exist. The best we can figure out. The building blocks by which we should exist anyway. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day that you don't spend with God, you're creating more problems for yourself. How about that? That's just as straightforward as can be. Every day you don't spend time with God, you're creating more problems. Don't do that. That's terrible. Daily. Draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. The world has its own wisdom, has its own knowledge, has its own sense of righteousness, all of which is a lie. Jesus' words are truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God, John 1:1, is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Never be ashamed of the truth of Jesus Christ. Should be ashamed of the worldly truths because they're lies, by and large. That's N. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, that's DNA. Always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means that you are in operation to move past yourself. I want to say this. This is really important. If you are so focused on you and your situation and nothing else, first of all, you're limiting the quality of your life. That's not even a joke. That's true. The more life you add into it with other people, with other brothers and other sisters, the more life you have. It's just addition. You can't really change math at that point. The other part about that is that when we do serve and have a mindset of serving, we reflect Jesus Christ, because Jesus came not to be served but to serve. And if God Almighty takes on the form of man and becomes a humble servant in the process, how can we not be willing to follow when we claim he's our Lord and Savior? Ouch, Dave. Take it out of my back. Ow, that hurts. Yeah, I know. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. That is our DNA. We will, in fact, take our break here and then come back. That's how we're going to do it today. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
David Spoon Experience.
I want you to catch something because for some reason the church feels the need to over-answer cultural changes that take place. Look at Jesus. He didn't care about anyone's opinion. That's what it says right in the text. And you do not care about anyone's opinion. Jesus didn't go, yes, I do. No, he didn't. He didn't. He never, because he didn't. That's exactly right. He is true. So they said, we know that you are true and teach the way of God. That's alethes, which means speaking the truth completely, nothing hidden, being real. He teaches the way of God correctly. That's alethes, which is the case is according to the fact, and doesn't care about anyone's opinion. The Greek word here literally means does not look at people's faces. In other words, when you're doing radio, I can't see faces except for Captain Chris, okay? I can't see if your face is giving approval or denial, because the only way that happens is by text or phone or whatever the case may be. When an actor acts, they can look on stage and see with the audience if there's approval. Jesus didn't seek people's facial approvals. He didn't care. And you think, well, no, he cared plenty. No, he cared about the mission to save the lost. He didn't care about those who were going to reject in the capacity that he sought their approval. He never sought their approval. He didn't live for people's positive responses to him. He walked at the pleasure of the Father. Whatever the Father wanted him to do or say, that's what he did. Which is when you'll hear me say, we do it for the author and not the audience. Because I think some of you people are literally some of the nicest people I have ever met in my human journey. But you still don't have a heaven to put me in. And that's what it comes down to. And I know that says, that sounds so, you know, harsh or whatever. It's like, are you serious? Okay. If the Lord tarries and I die, you are not going to help me. I just don't really know the way to say it. You know what I'm saying? And so I want you guys to catch that. To catch, this is why Jesus was so different. It's because he spoke the truth. He said it according to what the truth was. And he didn't seek people's approval in sharing. He just was like, look, I'm telling you exactly what the Father told me to say. This is exactly how the Spirit's leading me, exactly what the Father wants to be said. And then you look at that and you go, ooh, how about us? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Welcome if you're listening from Canada, our good friend up in Canada, whether you're listening from San Diego, when you're listening from Dallas or New York or Detroit or wherever you're listening from, whether you're listening in the heavenlies or even in those darker places that might listen just to see what's going on.
Jupiter, Saturn.
Jupiter, yeah. And I figure
if
the moon doesn't have a time, right, because there's no actual time because of how it is in rotation, I suspect that none of the other planets or moons do either. Is that fair?
I'll have to look it up, and I'll get back to you.
All right.
That's interesting.
That's right. Nothing but intellectual conversation here. Thank you very much. Here is your next trivia question. A little tougher. Okay, a little tougher. Not a ton. I'm going to give you the reference points, but just a little tougher. Who is the man who had two books in the New Testament dedicated or written to him? Is it Prochorus, Demas, or Theophilus? Prochorus, Demas, or Theophilus? Your answer is in Luke 1:3 and in Acts 1:1. Luke 1:3, Acts 1:1. Okay? All right. I did not mention this before, and I do need to mention this about Al. So when we were asking about Moses, I said, well, what happened when Moses came down the mountain? Al wrote, he dropped the third tablet.
See, that's from a movie where he goes, the Lord has brought 15, 10 commandments. Okay. People are like, that's offensive. Oh, get a life. All right, so that was mean. Okay, so.
So I Googled it, and we know Google's always reliable.
it's kind of like radio. If it's not radio, it must be true.
Yep. And it says just like the moon, no time for any other. Okay. Each planet has their own day length, but no specific time.
But you know, if that's the case, then can't you just make up a time and say that's what time it is? It would be just as right as being wrong.
Yep.
Okay.
So it is, we'll say 5:18 in Jupiter.
Okay, there we go. Again, who was the man who had two books written to him in the New Testament? That's right, we're having fun. Relax. Two books written to him in the New Testament. Your reference point is Luke 1:3 and Acts 1:1. Is it Prochorus, Demas, or Theophilus? Both of these were written by the. Both of these references are written by Luke. So who did Luke write them to? Is it Prochorus, Demas, or Theophilus? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. I know it's a tough one. You got to think about it. You got to look up Luke 1:3 or Acts 1:1. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. And additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. That's david@hemusincrease.org. We're going to jam into our text or our message. We'll do the jokes a little later on. We'll do the history a little later on. We'll go from there, but your trivia question standing up, I'll repeat it again later. Here's where we're at. Ready? I want you to understand what I'm about to say. This is so important. God desires to bring his kingdom, where he is king, into our lives in every area and on every level. God desires to bring his kingdom, where he is king, in our lives in every area and on every level. Not just in our hearts, but in our bodies, in our minds, in our functionalities. The kingdom of God is proclaimed more often than you'd almost can say than any other principle, because in the framework of the kingdom of God is the communication of the redemption of Jesus Christ for humanity. And in the kingship of God, where God is king, the desire is for his kingship on this earth to expand person by person and circumstance by circumstance. You're thinking, are you sure? Okay, well, let's just look at the scripture and see. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I want you to pick up. Now we got somebody, they're going to answer the trivia because we'll give them a chance, but I want you to hear what's being said. Jesus is talking about things that we encounter. He's not just talking about the right attitude of a person, but our circumstances and our situations. Because he's saying, why are you worried about what you're going to eat? Why are you worried about what you're going to drink? Why are you worried about what you're going to wear? Your Father knows that you need these things. So he brings the kingdom into circumstances. We're going to get into that in a split second. But first, we have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Roger again.
Hello, Brother Roger again. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, sir. You ready for some triv?
Yes.
All right. Let me set it up.
I think I can get it right this time.
All right, let me set it up for you, and then you can answer it, okay?
Set it up.
All right, here we go. Who's the man who had two books in the New Testament written to him? Is it Prochorus, Demas, or Theophilus?
I believe it's Theophilus.
That is correct, Amundo!
Yeah. And I looked it up.
I looked it up. I love it. And you know what's great about Theophilus? Listen, Theophilus, Theo, God, Philophilus, the other part of it is to love. It's one who loves God. That's what his name means. So Theophilus is one who loves God, and that's who those letters were written to, someone whose name means love God. Isn't that cool?
Maybe I ought to change my name.
Theophilus. That's a great name right there, right? Excellent job. How you
but
doing?
I can't change my name because David Spoon gave me Roger again, so I can't change my name.
Yeah, that is a good name, though. Roger again. It is one of the most unique names ever.
Right. Anyway, I had a word, and it was, this is Christmas, right?
Getting on Christmas.
Yeah, it's getting there. Well, don't mess with Christ in Christmas.
That's right.
don't miss.
That's right.
Christ in Christmas.
Do not miss. So, you can't spell Christmas without Christ. That's right.
In other words, just don't forget about Christ during Christmas.
That's actually the sign we have in front of our house, that Jesus is the reason for the season. We tell people, you know, right. It's like, yep, that's how it goes.
Right. Yeah. Our minister preached on it. He had Chris, or Christ, and then he had Miss. And don't miss Christ in Christmas.
There you go. Excellent, excellent title for him, too. Great
that was
job.
A good message.
Excellent. Very, very good, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, you know, there was a guy that had a wish granted to him, and he said he wished for a highway to Hawaii, and I said, that's too big a wish. What's the other wish that you would like? He said, I would like to figure out how to understand a woman. And the wisher said, how big a highway do you want?
Got it. That's Roger again, folks.
Yeah, I always stick my neck out. Don't
All
I?
Right, that was a good one, though. I appreciate
God bless
it, brother.
You.
All right, you
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, nobody take offense to that. He's just sharing a joke. It's funny. All right, here we go. Back to this. I want to make sure we get this text, and then we'll take an extra minute or two, and then we'll exit. So listen to how this goes. What we think about when we think about the kingdom of God, and not inappropriately, is the kingdom of God is in the future. That is true. Whether you are a premillennialist, amillennialist, or postmillennialist, you're still a millennialist. So there's still some kind of kingdom issue going on there. So nobody's not a kingdom person. It just depends on how you think of it. The problem is people think of the kingdom as far away, or other people just think of the kingdom as just now, which both are right and wrong in the sense that the kingdom of God is both now and far away. It's both now. The kingdom of God is certain. Then when you became a Christian, the kingdom of God moved into your heart. And then the kingdom of God will be future when the return of Christ comes and there's an additional reign, there's additional process. So you understand without being a theologian, the kingdom is now, the kingdom is later. Like the candy, now and later. The kingdom is now and the kingdom is later. That's okay. What people don't recognize is that the kingdom of God, where God is king, where he rules and where he reigns, is in situations as well as in hearts. And what we fail to recognize is that God wants us to be aware that he wants to bring his kingdom. In fact, it's the Father's good pleasure to bring the kingdom to his kids. And what we think of is that we've got to pry it out of God's hands because we have warped concepts of God, or we have really kind of icky faith. Well, the truth is that Jesus, at the core, at the center of the most popular sermon ever preached ever in all of human existence. In the middle, in the core of it all, we are told to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. First of all, that righteousness is the righteousness that God provides, which is through Jesus Christ, and a righteousness that reflects Jesus Christ. So it is both a justification and a sanctification righteousness. But we are told to seek first the kingship, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will cover. And then Jesus drops in the line that everybody quotes apart from verse 33 because they just like verse 34. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Yes, but he said that in context of being aware that we have to seek first the kingship of God. So I'll just ask you this question as straightforward as possible. How many areas in your life are not surrendered to the kingship of God? How many? More than one, not yielded to God. Oh, it's not that you don't say, oh, yeah, Lord, don't forget this. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. When the Lord took over your life, when he became a part of your life, your heart rearranged. It changed. Your face changed. Your spirit was born again. Everything changed. What about those areas that we keep a little further away? Have we surrendered those to the kingship of God? We'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So we're going to bring Annika on the phone so she can answer her own trivia question. It's amazing because we had some people able to answer part of the question, the other part of the question, and one person answered both parts of the question. Actually, two people did that, so that would be Joy and Deb. So Annika, are you there with us? Hello? Is this Annika?
Yes.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. We took your suggestion and we went with it.
And did you get very many responses?
We did. We get a lot of responses. What was it, like multiple in the text? Nobody was going to call in. I think they were all like, ooh, that's a big one. Ooh. But I'm going to give you the chance. So I'm going to ask you both questions and let you take the floor and answer the questions. These were the trivia question was, who was Jemima's dad? That was the first question. And then the second part of the question is, what does Jemima mean? So let's go first for the dad. Who was Jemima's dad?
Her dad was Job, and she was part of his second family after his first family was destroyed.
That is correct. And now for part two. So you're going for a two. You're going for a double. Here you go. And what did her name mean?
Okay. According to Cruden's Complete Concordance, her name means dove, but it's a word of doubtful meaning. So you tell me.
Okay. First of all, the second answer, correctamundo. So you got that correct, too. So the only part of the doubtful part is that when Noah was putting stuff out, it's like he didn't know what the animals were going to do and that kind of thing. It's more like just going to throw this out there and hope it works. So it's more along those lines. But dove is the correct answer, and it is interesting to think that Job was the father and dove was the answer, and connected to Noah in a certain sense of being rest after that kind of dramatic experience and trial. Often God brings people, when they've gone through something that dramatic, rest. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready to do our next trivia question. After this trivia question, we're going to send you up to the website and give you that update again on the giving process. And then we'll come back and get back into the text. Here you go. This, by the way, should be given Steve, our wonderful Steve, who calls our show often, should be given credit for this because he didn't even know that this question was coming, yet kind of got the answer, part of the answer going on a humorous note. Here it is. In John's account of feeding the 5,000, so there are four accounts of that. On John's account, John's, which two disciples were involved in Jesus' discussion on how to proceed? So which two were involved on how to proceed? You're really looking for, I think, John 6, 5 through 11. Is it Peter and John, Philip and Andrew, or Simon and Garfunkel? Peter and John, Philip and Andrew, or Simon and Garfunkel? Which two disciples were involved, according to the Gospel of John, in the feeding of the 5,000? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us by phone, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website right now and tell you this real quickly. There's a new method for giving. It's not the elimination of the old. The PayPal is still there, but there's a new, easier system that's in the very front of the donate button when you get to the website. It can take a $5 minimum if you want to test it out, like just try to test it or see whatever. Plus, that gives us $5. Well, I'm not a complete idiot. So anyhow, the idea behind that is test it out, see if it's something you like. We want to get feedback. We've already gotten some feedback, said it was really, really easy. We want to make sure everybody thinks that. So this is kind of a way for having other people test it, not just myself and the people that have already used it. So you can go to the website, you check it out, and then you hit donate, and there's the new system at the very top of the donate page. Give it a shot. Let me know what you think. You can send me a response afterwards by text or by email. Check all this stuff out. Please give if you can. Check it out at hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
And wanted to add a fourth multiple choice on that trivia question. It could also be Hall & Oates.
Okay. Didn't even think about it. Okay. Or Hall & Oates. Okay. So here's the trivia question. I want to say that Jeanette's got the pow-pow in this one. In John's account of feeding the 5,000, which two disciples were involved in Jesus' discussion on how to proceed? Hall & Oates, Peter and John, Philip and Andrew, or Simon and Garfunkel?
And Huey Lewis in the News, the fifth one.
You want to put that in there, too? That's a lot to choose from. If you think you know. By the way, your answer, because I know people are like going, I know who it isn't, but I'm not sure who it is. John chapter 6, verse 5 through 11, if you're trying to track that down. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Back to this text, which I absolutely love this. And you've got to hang out to the very last segment because that's where it all comes together. Or you're going to be sitting there going, I'm kind of getting this a little bit. All right. So, kingdom of God, where God is king. Not just in your heart, but in your mind, your body, your life. Listen, in your situation, in your circumstance. The kingdom of God is directly connected to people worrying about the future. That's how you know the kingdom of God expands beyond just people and has to do with your circumstances of those same people's lives. You know that from Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or drink? Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we get the discussion from Jesus, the truth from Jesus, the teaching from Jesus, that seeking the kingdom is priority. So the question is, how do you access the kingdom? And that's where it gets weird. It doesn't get weird from God's point of view. It gets weird from our point of view. Mark chapter 1. Verse 14 through 15. Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repentance is the way that we immediately access the kingdom of God. Let me make sure you understand that John's first message was repentance. Jesus' first message was repentance. Peter's first message was repentance. Paul's first message was repentance. I believe there could be an established pattern in the scripture. And when we think of repentance, don't just be honest with me. Just stay with me in this. When we think of this, the guy who's like got the sandwich board walking on the corner street saying, repent for the end is near. Or if you're a Monty Python fan, you think of the monks smashing themselves in the face with the big wooden blocks. Or you think about, you know, doing things to yourself and all of these things that show that you are truly repented. That is a fun way, if you think it's fun, of a manifestation of repentance, but that's not what repentance is. Repentance is from the Greek word metanoo. Metanoo. In its most pure form, repentance means simply this: conform to God's way of thinking. Now, I want you to hear what I'm going to say. In too many churches and too many preaches, repentance is thought of as a person's walking down the line, not walking down a path. There's repentance, so they look up, and then they keep walking down the path. That is not repentance. That's an awareness. Repentance is walking down the path, you look up, and you change your direction because you looked up, and you are in line with God's thinking and not your own thinking. And what's important about that is to understand that Scripture takes great, great pains to make sure we understand that we need to think God's way and not just to think our way. And so here, I want to give you in Isaiah 55 just a couple of verses that will help you understand. It says this in Isaiah 55:5, behold, you will call a nation you do not know, a nation which knows you not will run to you, because the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will have compassion on him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. To repent is to get your thinking, your thoughts, in line with God's thinking and thoughts. I know it can have many manifestations and there can be sorrow attached to it, but true biblical repentance is changing the way we think to be surrendered or submitted to the way that God declares we should think. So when you're worried about tomorrow, true repentance is going, you know, Jesus said, I'm not supposed to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to. That's real repentance. Changing the way you process, the way you think, the way you function. Is sorrow with it? Often. Because you know you're going in the wrong direction. Is all that sorrow, is it always the same level? No. Repentance can be, you're going the wrong direction. Yes, Lord, sorry. Repentance can be, you're going the wrong direction, you're killing people. Oh, my God, please help me. That's substantially different, right? Both are repentance. That's what I want you to get. Don't want you to miss it because it's critical. Okay. Trivia question is, in John's account of feeding the 5,000, which two disciples were involved in Jesus' discussion? Was it Hull and Oates, Peter and John, Philip and Andrew, or Simon and Garfunkel? And the answer is Philip and Andrew. That's who it is in John's gospel. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your final trivia question. This is just a regular one. It's not as good. Not as many humorous things in this one. Well, here we go. This is also out of the Gospel of John. The parents of the blind man that Jesus healed feared that the Jewish leaders who questioned them about their son were going to punish them. What way would they be punished? One, they would be stoned to death. Two, they'd be sent out of the country. Or three, they would be put out of the synagogue. So what were the parents concerned about? The parents of the man who was born blind. This is in John chapter 9, verse 22. What was their big concern that would happen to them if they stood up there and testified on behalf of their son? Were they afraid of being stoned to death? One, two, being sent out of the country, or three, being pushed out of the synagogue? Which of those were the parents concerned about? That's the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I believe the reference is going to be John 9:22. Should be your direct reference. Shouldn't be that difficult to reach. We are going to jump right back into the portion because I want to make sure you understand the fullness of this message. The first part of this message had to do with the kingdom of God and understanding the kingdom of God is where God is king. It is now and it is later. It is now in your heart. It is later in a kingdom manifestation, but it is also situational, which is why Jesus made it very clear in Matthew 6:31-34 that we don't have to be afraid for tomorrow, but if we seek first the kingdom of God, we will be on the right track, and God will be partnering with us. The next thing we examined is understanding that repentance is the best way to access the kingdom of God. It's the stepping stone or the door by which you enter into the kingdom of God from a practicality point of view. We reviewed Matthew 4:17 as Jesus made it clear, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Here's another element of that, understanding the word repentance as metanoō, which means to conform. It literally means to change the mind. That's the direct translation. It means to conform to God's way of thinking. So your mind, your thinking, your thoughts change to God's way of thinking. Isaiah 55:8 makes it clear that our thoughts are not his thoughts, but that in fact they need to be. The last thing out of this, and we do have somebody calling in, the last thing out of this is to understand what the result of that is and how you can somewhat know that you are functioning that way. So we're going to take this trivia call. We're going to do it kind of quickly, and then we're going to come back and finish up what is the benefit, the immediate benefit that comes from this. So let's send the person through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
We're about the same.
Okay, that's fine. Well, we're going to pray for you anyway because we love you, brother. All right, I'm going to set it up for you and give you a chance to knock it out of the park. Here we go. The parents and the man that was born blind and then was able to see because of Jesus, they were very concerned because if they testified that their son was indeed blind, that something was going to happen to him. Were they worried that he was going to be stoned to death, sent out of the country, or put out of the synagogue?
Put out of the synagogue.
That is correct, Amundo! And it's somewhat of a sad testimony, Gary, because they're more concerned about what other people thought about them than the truth. And the truth is their son was born blind, and now we can see. And instead of just rejoicing in that, it was like, uh-oh, you know, this could get us in trouble in a bunch of financial ways and social ways, and that was a bigger concern, so they said nothing. That's like, that's not cool. Let me pray for you, brother, and we're going to pray that the Lord heals you just exactly like we do, and we're not going to stop praying for you, and we don't want you to stop letting us pray for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you and we praise you for all the great things you do. We are asking you to bring healing power into Gary's body. We pray all the time. We're not going to stop, Lord. We hope you get tired of us asking you because then we're expecting you to heal him. We're going to annoy you until you say yes. We ask you to bring healing into Gary's body in the name of Jesus, not because of our righteousness, but because of you, because of the grace, the compassion, the willingness, the faithfulness that comes from you. Bring healing power into his body in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I've been praying for all of you, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. We love you.
Okay. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. See, what I love about Gary, he knows. He's like, okay, here we go. What's the big benefit about the kingdom of God, the repentance part? What's the big thing? Acts 3:17-19. Now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that as Christ would suffer, he is thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins might be wiped out in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The bottom line to the change that takes place when we are seeking first the kingdom of God, we are changing our thoughts to follow God, is that there is a refreshing presence that comes for those who repent and turn to the Lord. And some of you are as stale in your Christianity as you can get. And you need to have a freshness, a fresh anointing, fresh touch. And for some of you, it really does require you to change the direction of your mind in the Lord and to conform to God's way of thinking. I'll just give you one thing to do that with, and you can go from there. Ready? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Just change your thinking to agree with God's truth. That everything, and the NASB, the 1977 version, is probably one of the best. It says, God causes everything to work out for good. It might not look good now, it might not feel good now, and it might not taste good now. But it will be good because that's what God says. And to conform to his way of thinking, to repent from our way of whining and to his way of thinking, enables the refreshing presence of the Lord to sweep over us and to strengthen us anew. Now, how can that not be good? Wow. Get it? Okay. Keep it and hold on to it. Get it? Good. Keep it and hold on to it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to take a 22.5-hour break, then we're going to come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.